Welcome to the Church at South Edmonton's podcast. We hope you're encouraged and inspired to seek Christ through the message today.
Father God, we thank you that there is power in the name of Jesus. There's power in his name. There is no other name under heaven given amongst men by which we must be saved. There is salvation in the name of Jesus. There is healing in the name of Jesus. There is answered prayer in the name of Jesus. Father, right now we bring our lives to you. We bring our bodies, our minds, our spirits, our homes, our families, our communities, our jobs. We bring everything before you, Lord. And we want your kingdom to come and your will to be done here on earth as it is in heaven. And so we bring every area of our life to you and we submit it to the power and authority of the name of Jesus. We say everything in our life that is not of God must flee in the name of Jesus. And every blessing that is currently missing from our life, we call it in the name of Jesus. And all God's people shouted. Give God a shout in the house. Come on, church. Amen, amen. Go ahead and take a seat. Good morning, church. Good to see you this morning. So we are beginning today a little mini message series for the season of Lent. So Lent is the run-up to Easter. And Easter, of course, we have got Good Friday, and then Easter. That's right, kids, get out of here in Jesus' name. We cast you out in the name. Go and be blessed in your kids thing. Good Friday, we remember Jesus dying. Easter Sunday, we remember Jesus rising from the dead. But there's a kind of Christian tradition in the run-up to Easter called Lent. You won't find it in the Bible. There's no Lent in the Bible. It was just something that the Christian church started at some point in order to tell the story of Jesus throughout the calendar year. And some people are really big on celebrating Lent. It began 2 or 3 weeks ago on Ash Wednesday, and it will run up to Easter, and it's for a period of 40 days, and I'm sure you must know people that go to churches that are really big on Lent, and sometimes they will fast something, like chocolate or something like that. It's not a real fast, or a social media. I'm fasting from Instagram, you know. So they will fast something for that period of 40 days before Easter. And that is kind of based on, if Easter is the end of Jesus' ministry, he died, he rose again, he appeared to many people, he returned to heaven. Easter's the end of Jesus' ministry. But Jesus' ministry began with him being baptized by John the Baptist and then going into the wilderness and fasting for 40 days, right? And so the idea of Lent is, in a few weeks' time, we're going to remember the death and resurrection of Jesus. So let's just brush up on the whole ministry of Jesus running up to that. There was his baptism, his temptation, his teaching, his miracles, his prayer life, his making of disciples, all of that kind of stuff that then led up to his death and resurrection. So starting today and over the next 4 Sundays, we're going to be just reminding ourselves of Jesus' ministry as we look towards the coming of Easter in a few weeks' time. So we've got four Sundays before Easter. You may have noticed a little invitation on your seat. That is not, the reason we put that there isn't so that you can brush it off your seat, stamp on it, and then walk out at the end and just leave it. That's not why we printed these, okay? We printed these because we think that if you took one of these every week and invited somebody to come to our Easter service, out of the three or four of these that you take over the next few weeks and give out to somebody, there's a good chance that one of those people you invite will come. If everybody, how many people? If everybody took one of these each week and invited one person to our Easter service, and there's a good chance that one of them will come, we have doubled our attendance on Easter Sunday. And more important than that, we may just have increased the citizenship of the kingdom of God, because people will come to know Jesus. So can I encourage you to take one of these each Sunday over the next 4 weeks, today and the next 3 weeks, and use them, prayerfully consider who you're going to invite. If you don't have any friends, just leave them under someone's windshield wiper or put it in their mailbox. You may make a friend. It will be good for you, you know? You say, well, I only know Christians. Jesus was the friend of who?
Sinners.
And we have to be like Jesus. So go and make friends with some sinners, okay? If you don't know any, there's a few nightclubs up the road there. Go and find one. Take your invitations with you. Make friends and invite. And all God's people said,
amen.
Amen. Okay, thank you. Right, we're going to start off by, in this season of Lent, we're going to start off today by looking at one aspect of Jesus. We'll be looking at different ones over the next few weeks. And I've called this message today, Jesus, the Son of God. Because this is how his whole ministry starts. Jesus is born to Mary in Bethlehem. You know the whole Christmas story. They then return to Nazareth where he grows up. We don't hear much about him apart from when he's 12 years old. And then we don't hear much after that. And then all of a sudden, he appears to publicly launch his ministry by going to the River Jordan to be baptized by John. And we're going to see two things about Jesus that are important for us to understand, to know, and to believe, but these two things also apply to our lives as well. And if you were here at the Bible study on Thursday night, if you weren't here at the Bible study on Thursday night, why not? But if you were here at the Bible study on Thursday night, one of the things I mentioned is that very often we think about Jesus as being so different to us that we don't relate to his life. We think of Jesus as being like, here's humanity, and Jesus is the great exception. He's different than everybody else. But actually, Jesus is supposed to be the great example. We are supposed to be followers of Christ, okay? So we are supposed to model ourselves in Jesus. Jesus is not supposed to be someone so different to us that we can't relate to it. I mean, like, remember you know, like a couple of decades ago, people used to wear a little band and it said WWJD, remember? What would Jesus do? The idea was that I'm in a situation now and I don't know what to do. Hold on a minute, what would Jesus do? Well, there's no point in thinking about what Jesus would do because Jesus was so different from me, he bears no relation. No, no, we know that we're supposed to follow Jesus' example. He's not the great exception, he's the great example. He is the exemplar. He is the pattern. He's the blueprint. He's the firstborn. And somebody else was the secondborn and the thirdborn and the fourthborn, and somewhere around there, we got in there too. And so we are supposed to follow the pattern of Jesus. So let's have a look at how Jesus' ministry started. Let's go to our first passage of Scripture, and it's in Matthew chapter 3. It said, in those days, John the Baptist came to the Judean wilderness and began preaching. His message was, repent of your sins and turn to God, for the kingdom of heaven is near. Let me just stop there a second. Right. Quite often, people get an idea in their mind that when the Bible mentions the kingdom of heaven, it's talking about heaven. When I die, I will go to the kingdom of heaven. You know, it's like the kingdom of heaven is heaven. But, and then, the Bible talks a lot about the kingdom of God. I remember somebody once asked, you know, talking to me, and they had become convinced that there was two kingdoms. There was the kingdom of God and the kingdom of heaven. And the kingdom of heaven was heaven, and the kingdom of God was the church to them. And so I remember having to explain to them, no, Matthew's gospel was written mainly to Jewish people. And Jewish people tended to avoid saying God. They would say heaven. You know how if you sneeze, somebody might say, God bless you? They would say, heaven bless you. We might say, I want to be in God's will. And they would say, I want to be in heaven's will. Because they didn't want to take the name of the Lord, our God, in vain. So they were very careful. So they would call it the kingdom of heaven. But it's exactly the same thing as the kingdom of God. The kingdom of heaven is just a kind of Jewish way of saying the kingdom of God, okay? Now, the kingdom of God, or the kingdom of heaven, isn't a place. The kingdom of God is wherever God is king. Yeah. If God is king in your life, the kingdom of God is within you. If God is king in this church, then the kingdom of God is manifesting here. God's desire is that his kingdom come, his will be done here on earth as it is in heaven. Okay, so he said, the kingdom of God is near. The rule of God is near because Jesus is near and he is the king. There only is one king. Do you know that the devil is not the king? He doesn't have a kingdom. He's called the prince of the power of the air, but he's not a king. There's only one king, and that's Jesus. And it says here, John said, I baptize with water those who repent of their sins and turn to God. But someone is coming soon who is greater than I am, so much greater that I'm not worthy even to be his slave and carry his sandals. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and with fire. Remember the word baptize? Nowadays, it's a religious word. The only time you ever hear the word baptize really is in church. But originally, it was an everyday word. Baptize simply means to plunge, to dunk, to immerse. If you dunk your cookie into your coffee, you are baptizing it in Greek. If you dye your clothes, You are baptizing them. It just means to immerse. And John said, I immerse people in water. I saturate people in water. But there's someone coming who will saturate your life with the very presence of God, who will baptize with the Holy Spirit and fire. Now look, then Jesus went from Galilee to the Jordan River to be baptized, to be dunked, to be immersed or saturated by John. But John tried to talk him out of it. I am the one who needs to be baptized by you, he said. So why are you coming to me? But Jesus said, it should be done, for we must carry out all that God requires. Now, there's no trick questions here, so feel free to shout out. Was Jesus a sinner? You can shout out, it's not a trick question. Was he? Okay, so did Jesus need to repent of his sins? So did Jesus really need to have to go through a baptism of repentance? But he did it anyway as an example for us to follow. Not for his own self, but for us. Right? He's the example, right? And so he said, we must carry out all that God requires. So John agreed to baptize him. After his baptism, Jesus came up out of the water. Look, at you know, different strokes for different folks, and different churches for different people, and all that's great. But I've never understood how holding a little baby and putting three drops of water on their head fits the picture of being immersed in water and coming up out of the water. The symbolism is so powerful. It's saying your old life is buried and you've risen to a brand new life. Hey, if you have never been baptized as a believer, within a few weeks after Easter, we will be organizing a baptism service. You make sure you get to the hub after the service out there in the foyer and you inquire about baptism. You put your name down there, sign up. We will be in touch with you. It is such an important and transformative moment of your life when you're publicly baptized and you come up out of the water to go on a new path and to live a new life. And then he says here, as he came up out of the water, the heavens were opened and he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and settling on him. Descending like a dove. It wasn't a dove. I watched one of those movies. You know, there's a lot of Jesus movies. I saw one once and Jesus was baptized. And after he was baptized, a pigeon came and landed on his shoulder in the movie. And I'm like, it wasn't a bird. It wasn't like a real dove. It was the Holy Spirit like. How does a dove descend? Gracefully, right? The Holy Spirit descended on him like a dove. Okay, there was the presence of God. The anointing of God came upon his life. And before this, there is no record of him healing anybody, forgiving anybody, delivering anybody, turning water into anything. There's no record of any of those things. But after this moment, Jesus begins to preach the gospel, heal the sick, cast out demons, raise the dead, multiply food. Everything that he needed, God's power was at work through him after this moment of the Spirit of God, the presence of God anointing him. That's what Matthew tells us. But Mark tells us that as well as the heavens open and the Spirit of God coming on him, something else happened. Look at this. At that time, Jesus came from Nazareth in Galilee and was baptized by John in the Jordan. Just as Jesus was coming up out of the water, he saw heaven being torn open and the Spirit descending on him like a dove. And a voice came from heaven. You are my son, whom I love. With you, I am well pleased. Jesus was anointed by God, and he was also declared to be the Son of God. Two things. Jesus was the Son of God, and Jesus was anointed by God's Spirit. And you know, the Bible talks a lot about being anointed. In the Old Testament, they used to anoint people with oil. The oil was a symbol of the Holy Spirit. And people like prophets who could hear from God received the anointing of the Holy Spirit. People like priests who could go right into God's presence in a way that nobody else could were anointed by oil and by the Holy Spirit. And people like kings who were ruling in God's kingdom were anointed by oil and by the Holy Spirit. That's in the Old Testament. Do you know that now you're a prophet, priest, and king? Do you know that you don't need to go to a priest to get close to God? You can go straight to God in prayer. You can go straight into his presence. Do you know that you can hear from God? You don't need to go to that. You don't need to go to a prophet and cross his palm with silver and ask him for a fortune cookie or something like that. You know, I mean, you can hear from God. Do you know that you've been called to be a king along with the King of Kings? If Jesus is the King of Kings, who are the kings that he's the King of Kings over? We are. Okay. He has made us to be priests and kings unto his God, the Bible says. And so we can receive that anointing. Look, you are my son, whom I love. With you I am well pleased. Jesus was the Son of God, and Jesus was anointed by God. Do you know that when you put your faith in Christ, you follow in that same pattern? You're not just a believer. You're not just a church member. You're not just a Christian. You are a child of the living God. God is literally, actually, in reality, your father, and you are his child. Right? That's a whole different thing. You're not just a subject of the kingdom, you're a child of the king. You're not just someone who's getting into heaven by the skin of your teeth. You're an heir of God and a joint heir with Jesus Christ. And so Jesus again and again and again portrayed God as a father and us as his children. I want to show you that in the book of Galatians. Let's look at Galatians. It says this, the law, talking about the old covenant law, the law was our guardian until Christ came. It protected us until we could be made right with God through faith. And now that the way of faith has come, we no longer need the law as our guardian. It's kind of like this. Imagine there's a daddy with a little kid, and he's got to go to work, and he takes his little kid to daycare. Boom, boom, opens the door, puts the kid into daycare, and the daycare becomes a guardian to watch over the child, to make sure the child is safe, doesn't hurt itself, is provided for, is fed, and gets a nap in the afternoon and things like that. And the dad goes to work. But then when the dad comes to collect the child, The child no longer needs the kindergarten. The child no longer needs the daycare. The child no longer needs the guardian because the child is now in the arms of its father. Do you know that all the religious law in the Old Testament was daycare? It was spiritual daycare to look after us until our daddy came to pick us up and carry us in his arms. And that's what the story of Jesus is all about. It's about the God coming to us to collect us. Look, it was a guardian. We no longer need the law as our guardian. For you are all sons of God. Yeah. Oh, I thought God only had one son. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. No, God only had one son. Yeah. But now he has millions. Okay? For, say the next few words with me. You are all sons of God. Say it again. You are all sons of God. What Jesus is, we are. You are all sons of God through faith in Christ Jesus. And all who have been united with Christ in baptism have put on Christ like putting on new clothes. You are his heirs. And God's promises belong to you. God, you're his heirs. God has written a will, and you're in his will. The last will and testament, the New Testament, is God's will. If you read the promises of God in Scripture, it is God's will that you live in those promises, and you're his heir. They belong to you. So everyone say this, I am a child of God. God is my Father. I am his child. Heaven is my home. Right, that's what it's teaching. God said of Jesus, this is my beloved Son. In you I take pleasure. And do you know that when God looks down at everyone who has put their trust in him, do you know that God looks at you and says, you're my beloved son, you're my beloved daughter, you are my beloved child, I take pleasure in you. If some of you could believe that, it would change your life. Because you think God's disappointed in you. You think God's irritated by you. You think God's angry at you. You think God's washed his hands of you. But God takes pleasure in you because you're his child. He loves his children with an everlasting love. So Jesus was the Son of God in whom God took pleasure, and you're a child of God. Jesus was anointed and you're anointed. Do you know that Jesus worked miracles? We know that Jesus was fully God and fully man. But do you know he didn't work miracles because he was God? Do you know that when Jesus... Look, here's Jesus in heaven. I am fully God. I'm going to become a human being. But I am going to lay aside my divine prerogative, my divine privileges, so that when I come down amongst you, I will have to live like you live. You get hungry and I'll get hungry too. You get tired and I'll have to have sleeps as well. You get tempted to sin and I'll be tempted to sin too. But I'll be a human being like you. But I will be anointed by the Holy Spirit and do amazing things for God and with God and through God. But that means that if I'm doing it through the anointing of the Holy Spirit, if you get anointed by the Holy Spirit, you can do amazing things for God, with God, and through God. Look at Acts chapter 10. Look at what this verse says. You know that God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and with power. Then Jesus went around doing good and healing all who were oppressed by the devil, for God was with him. That means if we could be anointed by the Holy Spirit and with power, we could go about doing good and healing and overcoming the enemy, couldn't we? Do you know that we have? Remember, John said, I baptize you with water. I saturate you with water. But one is coming who will baptize with the Holy Spirit, who will fill you, who will saturate you, who will anoint you with the Holy Spirit. His name is Jesus. Do you know that not only can we become children of God, but we can be anointed by God? We can be anointed by Him. Let me just tell you, I went through that experience of becoming a child of God and then of being anointed by God. Becoming a child of God, being anointed by God. When I remember when I wasn't a Christian and I started coming around church, I started to get taken to services, someone was sharing the gospel with me, I would be listening to this, to the gospel message, getting convicted by it, sometimes getting irritated by it. Have you ever noticed that the preaching of the gospel softens some people's hearts and hardens other people's hearts when they resist it? But eventually I realized that this was true, that I needed to become a child of God, that the whole reason that Jesus became a man, that the Son of God became a man, was so that I, as a man, could become a son of God. I've got a C.S. Lewis quote. You want to stick it up? C.S. Lewis said, you know the guy who wrote the Narnia stories? The Son of God became a man so he could enable men to become sons of God. And when I heard the gospel and when I believed it and when I put my faith in Jesus, at that moment, I was born again. I became a child of God. And instantly, things changed in my life. I had been reading the Bible before that, but all of a sudden, I was reading the Bible after it and it was speaking to me. I had a sense that God was with me, that He was watching me, that He was always there. I began to pray. God was my Father. I was His child. But then sometime later, I realized that it was hard work being a Christian. I was trying to pray, trying to learn the Bible, trying to serve the Lord, and I couldn't do it in my human strength. I needed the anointing of the Holy Spirit. And I'll never forget the day I went to my pastor and I said, look, I've been born again, I've been baptized in water, but I'm reading about this baptism in the Holy Spirit. I want to be filled with the Holy Spirit. My pastor prayed for me, laid hands upon me, prayed in tongues over me. I was filled with the Holy Spirit. And all of a sudden, things began changing in my life. There, when the Lord anoints you with His Spirit, nothing can stop the blessings and the favor of the Lord. And so whole story of Jesus beginning His ministry is telling us is this. Yes, we need to believe that Jesus is the Son of God. We need to believe that He came to bring the kingdom of God. We need to believe He is the Christ, the anointed one of God. But more than just believing that something happened 2,000 years ago, we need to believe that when we put our faith in Him, we become the sons and daughters of God. We don't just become Christians or church members or citizens of the kingdom. We become children of the Father. And if you've never become a child of the Father, today's the day to do that. But if you are a child of the Father, but you feel spiritually dry, you feel like you're trying to live the Christian life in your own strength, maybe what you need is a double dose of the Holy Ghost. Maybe that's what you need. Maybe what you need is an anointing of the Holy Spirit. And God has a fresh anointing for you. King David said, "My head shall be anointed with fresh oil." And today I want to pray that the Holy Spirit would anoint us afresh, that we would leave this place with the favor of the Lord. That all of a sudden, when we leave this place today, instead of people cutting us off in traffic, they're going to be letting us in. You go to a restaurant, and instead of them making you wait, they usher you past everyone straight to a table. You ask for the check, and then someone says, Kelly's already paid for it for you. It's done. And all of a sudden, you walk out and you think, what's different in my life? I feel like I have suddenly been anointed with the favor of the Lord. Because every opposition will be broken. Every hindrance will be broken because it's the anointing that breaks the yoke. Can you say amen? Come on, church, let's stand up. I want to pray for us. The anointing of God's favor changes everything. Let's say that. The anointing of God's favor changes everything. Lift your hands up high and say it together. The anointing of God's favor changes everything. Father, I pray for us today. I pray for everyone in this place and everyone connecting online. May there come a fresh dew from heaven. May there come a refreshing rain of your presence. May a new breeze blow through this place and blow through our lives. Blow all the staleness, all the cobwebs, all the dust away. Father, I ask for a fresh anointing of the Holy Spirit, that those here, Lord, who are empty, that they shall leave filled in Jesus' name. That those who are down, they shall be uplifted now in Jesus' name. That those who do not yet know you, may they be opening their hearts to you and receiving you right here, right now, in Jesus' name. May the Holy Spirit fill us afresh. In Jesus' name. And all God's people said, amen. Amen, church.
Thank you for joining us today. If you enjoyed this week's message, click subscribe. And if you'd like to check us out in person, check our website for times and location at thechurchse.com. Have a great week.